word I told you in the Hebrew, the make a league, is the same exact word, which is karat barith in the Hebrew, as to make a covenant. And so those two phrases, it's a different translation, but it's the same exact words in the Hebrew, all right? And it's karat barith, which means to cut a covenant. And we said that Joshua made this covenant with the Gibeonites, whom he was told not to make any covenants with. He made a covenant with the Gibeonites, and God made him honor it. Even though the Gibeonites had deceived Joshua, even though the Gibeonites had lied about their whereabouts, where they were from, even though they had deceived him in dressing up in old clothes and tattered shoes and bringing old moldy bread, God still required that Joshua and the children of Israel honor the covenant that was made. So much so that I told you that when five kings came against the Gibeonites, that God had Joshua march up there to save the Gibeonites, which involved about a 20-mile hike up 3,300 feet of elevation in one night so that they could get there to save or rescue the Gibeonite people whom God told them not to make a covenant with and whom God told them to destroy. So it would have been very easy to get out of the covenant and just let the Gibeonites die and let it be done, because that's what God's ultimate will was anyhow, right? Was that they to destroy all the Canaanites, but yet God made them go and honor that covenant. And then we talked about, before they ever got there, God honored that covenant. And God destroyed that nation before Joshua and them got there. All Joshua and them did was clean up. All right, all they did was go in there and take care of a few. God did that. God did the work there. All right. The reason that we brought all this up is, you'll remember I said this, a covenant, help me right here, is a covenant is a covenant. In other words, when you make a covenant, then you honor that covenant and you keep that covenant. I need somebody to say amen. We don't live in that world anymore. We don't live in a world where when we tell somebody we're going to do something, or we say we're going to do something, that we do it. That's why we have, when you go to buy a house or something like that, you spend all day long signing papers. Why? Because nobody keeps their word anymore. And you got to go through 900 different things to make sure everybody's covered and there ain't no loopholes and there ain't none of this. Can I say this? There ain't no loopholes in marriage. I'm going to need some help right there. There ain't no loopholes in marriage. When you vow a vow, you vow that vow before God, you enter into a covenant with the person standing across from you, and you enter into a covenant with God. So we've looked at it from God's perspective of marriage and how it's a covenant, but tonight I want to take just a few moments to look at God's perspective of divorce. We've talked about man's perspective of marriage and how man views it. It's more of I'll be honest with you, it's more of a lust thing. We desire the other one. And that's a lot of the reasons that we end up married. And then we realize that that doesn't satisfy those lusts or whatever the case may be. And we want out of the marriage. And the government has made it very easy for us to do that. All you got to do is have some money and you can buy your way right out of a covenant. But that ain't how God does it. Is everybody all right? Y'all got to help me now. There's some things that y'all don't have to say amen on, but there's some things that y'all ought to be going, yeah, you're right, preacher. Y'all won't get it. Never mind. We talked about how man sees it. We talked about man's divorce, how man views divorce. And it's easy. Just go down there. If I don't want to be married anymore, I ain't got to be married anymore. We talked about God's view of marriage. Tonight we're going to talk about God's view of God's perspective of divorce. And we're going to do this from Matthew chapter number 19. We'll be in Matthew chapter number 19. We'll also be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. We're going to start off in Matthew chapter number 19. All right? And if you can get to Matthew chapter number 19, as soon as you're there, I want you to holler amen. Amen. All right. The Bible said, well, y'all do listen sometimes. All right. Now, the Bible says in verse number 3, and the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them, listen to this, this is good, male and female. I'm going to stop right here for just a second, all right? Just to clear the air, because I know what the news says, and I know what everybody on social media likes to tell you, but God made them male and female for a reason. Okay? All right? I don't care if you got family members that are different or not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. All right? They can take that up with God. All right, now. So, verse number 4. And he answered and said unto him, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. All right? Now, I'm going to go back because I didn't say this. I should have said this. This is God speaking. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, I am a father of one. This is God in the flesh speaking. I just wanted to point that out. Verse number, let's see here, where are we at? Verse number 6, wherefore there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. All right? That should have cleared it up for everybody. But it didn't for them. All right, verse number 7. And they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Well, first off, Moses didn't command a divorcement. Is everybody all right? You see how we take scripture and we put our little mark on it and twist it around to what we want it to say? That's exactly what they did right here to Jesus. Well, Moses commanded it. Moses did not command that anybody get a divorce. Jesus is going to deal with it. He says this. He says, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. Not commanded. That word suffered right there means allowed it. Permitted it. Is everybody with me? Everybody look at me. Permitted it, allowed it, not commanded it. All right? Now listen, this is going to be a hard saying. It was a hard saying. Let me go ahead and read it. All right, because I'm going to get to that. All right, now, here it goes. It says, Moses, because of your hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, y'all help me right here, it was not so. Verse number 9, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Verse number 10, his disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Listen, they knew what he was saying, and they took it, they took it literally. And they said, well, if that's the case, then we ought not even get married. Y'all help me now. See, we like to take marriage like it's something light, but it wasn't lightly taken with Jesus. And when he gave this, he said, listen, from the beginning, Moses allowed it. He suffered it. He allowed divorce because of the hardness of your hearts. But it was never intended to be that way with God. What man has, what God has put it together, let no man put asunder. Right? Now listen, y'all stay with me now. Don't get mad at me. Don't get upset. If I get out of the Bible, then you can get upset. But right now, we're dealing with the words of Christ. And he gives this, and the disciples turn around and they said, man, that's a hard saying. If that be the case, then it'd be better off for us not even get married. And Jesus tells them in verse number 11, but he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. In other words, not everybody can stay single. I need some help right there. I done told Michelle, she dies, I'm bringing my date to the funeral. I love my wife, but I need somebody. Come on, y'all help me, man. No disrespect to my wife. I love her more than anything in the world. But I need somebody, all right? And probably babysit me. I don't know. But anyhow, I pick on her all the time about it. Michelle's like, I ain't never getting married. I ain't never going to date again. I ain't never going to do anything. Whatever. She's just doing that, you know. You know how that goes. But not me. I was like, I'm bringing a date to the funeral. And somebody to help me get old, somebody to help me grieve through it and everything. But anyhow, I'm just picking y'all. I do say that to her. But I want to give you, there's three reasons that Jesus said that it is acceptable. All right? Three reasons we'll see in the Bible. One reason that Christ gives, the other two Paul gives us. All right? But this one we see right here, and that is for fornication. All right, this is immoral behavior. What ended up taking place here was the Pharisees came to him concerning the law, and they asked him, they said, can a man put away a wife for any cause? And basically, they were divorcing their wives for anything. Matter of fact, I did some reading on this thing and studying back in their customs and traditions, and basically, they could get a divorce if you burnt his supper. Help me, y'all. How many of you women ain't burnt something? I'm just throwing that out there, all right? I promise you, you get around me and Michelle once a year, we're going to have a smoke alarm going off somewhere around our house, all right? Hey, it happens, but this was the type of stuff that they were getting a divorce over. They get a divorce. How about this one? Have you seen a woman that was prettier than your wife? Then you could divorce them. That was one of the reasonings behind divorcement. If they seen somebody that was prettier than their wife, that was better looking than their wife, then they were putting away their wives for such causes. If their wife said, because I said so, just throwing that out there. This is law now. See, you're all right, Jake. We live under grace. But anyhow, if she was argumentative, basically is what it was, then they could put her away. And so they had taken this thing. A woman had no rights back in these days. And so she had no rights. She had no argument for it. Matter of fact, if the man got tired of her, then he could get rid of her. And so they came to Jesus with this every cause. And he said, no. Don't twist the law. The law specifically talked about her being unclean, or them being unclean, which specifically dealt with an immoral sexual act, which would have been fornication, which is what is translated here in Matthew chapter number 19. So basically, Jesus cleared up the law back in the Hebrew. When he cleared it up for us, when he come over in the Greek and said, no, this is except for fornication. All right, so what does that mean to me, preacher? That means that if your spouse has stepped outside, all right, of the boundaries of that marriage and that covenant, it does not mean that God wants you to divorce them. Somebody better help me. Remember, he didn't command it, he allowed it. Why did he allow it? Because of the hardness of your hearts. But he did not command it. So therefore, if somebody steps outside of the boundaries of marriage, you are permitted to get a divorce and thereby not under bondage to remarry, but that is not what God intended. Is everybody all right? Don't get mad at the messenger. I'm telling you what God said. All right? That's what God said. He said he allowed it, he permitted it, because of the hardness of your hearts. And I have seen this in my own life. I've seen this in my own office when I'm counseling. I have watched the man. I had a woman that I was counseling a couple, and she come in and she was so mad. I'm talking about, she gets so mad, her face has been mad at the color of this boy's shirt right here, red. She was just done, through. And we kept trying and kept trying. Well, all of a sudden, we hit a breakthrough. And she wanted to be in the marriage. And guess who didn't anymore? He didn't. He done had enough. It's done gone to a point where he had had enough. And then he would say, hey, I ain't going to do it. What was that? It was a hardness of hearts. And you can see it on one and you can see it on another. And then they ended up divorced. There wasn't nothing I can do with them. They ended up divorced But here's the thing. They did so because of the hardness of their hearts. Y'all help me now. I'm trying to help y'all. Yes, there is release when there is fornication involved, when there is unfaithfulness, when there is when that goes outside of the marriage, there is a release for that. But that's not how God intended it, all right? So we see the first reason God said, he looking at it from his perspective of divorce, is that we stay together. There is no divorce. But he will allow it under the circumstances of fornication. All right, now, let's move over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, there's two other reasonings given in the Bible, all right? One is obvious, and I'm going to start with it, and that is in verse number 39 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Is everybody there? All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 39, this is very obvious. The Bible says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. All right? So, the second reason that we see for divorce, first reason was for fornication. Jesus cleared that up for us. He said, it's not what is desired by God, but it is permitted by God. The second reason that's given here is if the spouse dies. So, a widower is very much released to remarry. All right, but don't get a hurry, because it says, look at the last part of that, only in the Lord. All right, what that means is don't go marrying up with somebody that ain't saved. Is everybody all right? We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about that with the teenagers and talk about that a little bit later when we start talking about, not tonight, but we're going to talk about that a little later in this series when we start looking, hey, what does God want me to have? First off, listen, I'll just go ahead and say it and I'll teach on it later, but if he or she isn't saved, then you ain't got no business dating them. Hey, if they don't check off on I'm saved, then we don't need to even get in a relationship. Period. That's Bible. I don't understand why how so many people have a problem with that. But you set yourself up for trouble down the road when you marry somebody that isn't saved. And yes, there are examples. I get this thrown in my face all the time. Well, Miss Michelle married you and you was lost. hey, listen, we are an exception to the rule. But I can take you through a whole list of people that have gotten divorces because they married outside of the will of God in their life, and they married somebody that was lost. The Bible tells us we're not to be unequally yoked. So, is everybody all right? You ain't even got business dating them. I'm gonna need a louder amen from that from the parents. All right, ain't got no business dating them if they ain't saved. Period. All right. And we'll go from there. There's other things too in the Bible that we know from the Bible that we ain't got to. We shouldn't even get involved in if they don't line up with this portion of it. And I'll just give you a disclaimer on this one. We'll move on. But I'm going to tell you something. Most people that sit in my office, and this is most ladies that sit in my office. You know what they say they want? They want a man that's going to lead the home, godly man that's going to lead the home. Well, ladies, if he wasn't godly when you married him, guess what? He ain't going to be godly 10 years down the road. Is everybody all right? Don't go out there and marry somebody that, if one of your strong points, I want somebody that's going to leave my home and be godly. If he won't even read his Bible and pray, then you ain't going to have one that's godly. Now, I love you, but that's just common sense. Right? Okay, I'll just make sure. All right, so we see the next cause is for death. So in the case of a widow, you can remarry, but only in the Lord. Now listen to what Paul says in verse number 40 of that chapter. He says, but she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. What is he saying right there? He says she'll probably be happier if she stays single like me. Just throwing that out there. This is Paul talking here. He says she'd probably be a lot happier if she just stays single. But then, before we get all jumpy on that, Paul in Timothy tells him, he says, if you're a young widow, you need to remarry. Because the young widows are the ones that cause problems. Amen. I wish I had time for that, but I don't. But anyhow, all right, so we've seen the second reason. Now we're going to look at the third reason. The third reason, this is something that I think that does not get preached in churches. It gets taught, and there's things that are said about it, but there's a lot of things that are left out about it. And I want to give us, let's take a look at this, all right? In verse number 7, we'll start our reading, all right? The Bible says this. It says, for I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Paul said, I'd have every one of you to be single like I am. He said, but not everybody can be single. Look up in here now. Not everybody can be single. All right? You have to understand, in chapter number 7, Paul is answering questions that the church sent to him. One of the questions that they had, this church was full of immoral. I mean, this culture, this place, it was full of immorality. And so what they were thinking was, and what they come to Paul was, when they got saved, they said, hey, listen here. So if we were to get a divorce, or if we were to not get married, that would make us more holy. That would make us more godly than those that are married. It was a problem. It was a problem that was going on right here. And so Paul says, not everybody, he said, it's good if you can stay single, but he said that's not everybody's gift. Everybody, amen. Hey, listen, what do we start this thing off with? Way back in Genesis, what did God say about it? It is not good for man to be alone. All right? So don't think that Paul's teaching something different right here. He's just saying, hey, there's some people that may be able to go and be single. But not all have that gift. Verse number 8. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. I ain't talking about burning in hell. All right? What that means is to burn in passion or lust after someone of the opposite sex. All right? So, he said it's better to marry than to be in an immoral relationship. Is everybody all right? Because we don't live in that world today. We live in a world where most people want to try out marriage without the covenant. Let's see if it works. Let's see if it's good. But that's not how God... Is everybody all right? Verse number 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Now in this situation we're dealing with a Christian. All right? And we're told that, let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. Now that goes right back to where we was at in Matthew chapter number 19. Verse number 12. But to the rest speak I not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Verse number 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. So Paul tells us that if we're married, that we're not to depart. We're not to leave one another. Amen. Paul says if we're married to somebody that's lost, that we're not to leave them. Amen. But if they choose to leave, let them depart. That's what the Bible says. All right? And the Bible says, according to Paul, we are not, what did it say? A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. So, if an unbelieving spouse walks out and abandons you, then according to the Bible, you're not, help me with this, you're not under bondage. Does everybody understand that? All right? There's some people that's been divorced and maybe your spouse has moved on and they've remarried. Guess what ain't going to happen? You're not going to reconcile that. You have been, that abandonment has taken place. Help me, it's over. All right? In such cases, we're not under bondage. So we get three reasons. The first reason is for fornication. The second reason that we're told in Scripture is a unbelieving spouse that departs. And then third, we're told death. That's what God says we're released from when it comes to a marriage. But here's the thing. Somebody's going to say, but what about me, preacher? I wasn't saved. I didn't know any of this. What do I do? If I'd have known all this, I might have worked harder to save my marriage, or I might have done things differently, or this, that, and the other, but I didn't know all this. So what do I do? Well, I'm glad you asked. All right, so let me go back. Before I get too far, let me get to this, because I think this is what ain't preached. Paul, in Acts chapter number 26 and verse number 10, Paul said that he gave his voice against the Christians, the early Christians. All right? What that means is that he cast a vote. What that means was that he sat on a congress, if you will, called the Sanhedrin. To sit on the Sanhedrin required that Paul be married. Is everybody all right? But in this passage of Scripture, Paul's writing as a single man. We're not told that he got a divorce. We're not told that his wife died. But given the circumstances, I think it's fair for us to wonder if God didn't give him liberty to write this because his unbelieving spouse walked out on him. You won't hear that in church. You won't hear that preached. Now, Paul remained single after this, but according to Acts chapter number 26 and verse number 10, he cast a vote. And to do so meant that he sat on the Sanhedrin, and to be in the Sanhedrin required that he was married. They looked at it, back then, they looked at it, if you wasn't married by 20 years old, you were living in sin. Marriage was a serious thing. So Paul, at some point, Paul was married. But in this passage of Scripture, he's not. And he's given us another commandment to where God releases us from marriage. And that is when an unbelieving spouse leaves. All right? Now, let's get back to what I was talking about. What do I do now, preacher? What happens if I didn't know this, I didn't understand all. Let's look at verse number 17. The Bible says in verse number 17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Let me go on and read you another verse. Verse number 20. He says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Let me read verse number 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. So what does that mean? That means wherever state you're in right now, abide in it. And y'all better do better than that. Hey, that means wherever God's got you right now, that's where you abide in it. That's where you stay. Don't go trying to fix your marriage. Don't go trying to get your ex-husband who's remarried, get him to divorce her so that y'all can reconcile back again. Don't leave your husband that you're married to now and run back to your ex. Is everybody with me right here? Wherever you are right now in that state, that's where you are to be. Say, preacher, but what do I do? I my marriage didn't line up. My divorce didn't line up biblically. I got a good word for you. It's called repent. Here's the great thing about that word repent. It comes with something. It's called forgiveness. And when we repent, God forgives. Does everybody understand what I'm saying right there? So if you made that mistake, then here's the greatest thing in the world. You'll hear, this is the greatest thing you'll hear any Sunday, any day of the week. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It cleanses us from all sin. Don't sit there and try to hold somebody in bondage because they're different than you. Either the same blood that cleanses you from your sin cleanses them from their sin, or yet you better do, I need somebody to help me right here, you still living in sin if it doesn't. So, well, I just don't agree with somebody that's being divorced. Good, you don't have to. You stay married and don't worry about them. You walk wherein you're called. And you let them do what God's called them to do. Whatever that may be. Is everybody all right? We live in a world that tells us, listen, I had to preach it hard. Because if you have to understand how God views a marriage, and if you understand how God views a marriage and how God views a divorce, it'll change your marriage. But you have to understand that. But I also want you to understand this. God's a forgiving God. He's a gracious God. And when you seek forgiveness, you get forgiveness. Say, preacher, I got divorced. I ain't remarried. I ain't done nothing. My husband's done gone. He's remarried. He's my ex. He's done gone. He's remarried. My ex-wife, she's done remarried. Guess what? You're released. Why do we keep people in bondage? Why is it that we feel like we get to hold people down? Stop. I read the verse. Let me get back over here. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Understand the word of God. And understand, hey, listen, God doesn't want us to be divorced. Amen. I say amen. If you're married, look at your wife and look at your husband. Tell them, I love you and I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to do whatever I have to. But you have to understand that there are circumstances that are beyond your control. There's people that are sitting in here, they didn't ask for a divorce. There's people in here that never wanted that. They never wanted that for their life. But somebody else decided that they didn't want to be a part of that marriage anymore. And who are you to hold that over their head? I hope you understand here at Calvary Baptist Church, you have a place you can serve. I don't care if you've been divorced or not. I think that we're looking at a day and time. Amen. We're looking at a day and time where churches are telling people, if you've gotten a divorce, we don't want you. You're filthy. You're dirty. They're treated like lepers back in biblical times. They come into the church and they holler, unclean, unclean. We had a church, a sister church down the road, called me up, and there was somebody in their church that was going through something. I'll never forget this. This was one of the staff members. Calls me up, and he tells me, he says, now, we got somebody that come to our church, and he's going through a divorce, and I told him he'd probably be better coming to y'all's church than coming to ours. I'm not lying about that. It'd be better off. I just told him he'd be better off preaching at your church than he would at ours. Because he's going through a divorce? Really? Is that how we're going to treat people? I need somebody to help me right here. Is that how Christ would have treated somebody? Hey, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to help you because you're going through a divorce. I'm thinking that they probably need more help, somebody help me right here, than most of the people sitting in that church. So as you look at it, I hope I helped you tonight. I'm done. I was going to teach on the first part. I will teach on it, all right? I'll be quick, I promise. Verse number one, this is how marriage is supposed to be. Verse number one, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. That doesn't mean to put his finger on her. This is talking about sexual relationship. That's why we had the youngins leave, all right? It says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. I'm going to put the emphasis right here. Let every man have his own wife. All right, and let every woman have her, help me out here, own husband. That means not somebody else's husband. That means not somebody else's wife. Got to say that stuff in these times. All right, now. All right, so let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. That's proper affection. It's not just, fellas, get your mind, it ain't just sexual relationship. It is due benevolence. That means that we are to love them at all times. Everybody all right? And likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Listen here. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Little word study on this. It means this. This warns that when a couple ceases having sexual relations, they lose the strength to resist immoral temptation. And when weak, Satan will be sure to tempt them. We're dealing on a day and age. What Paul's saying here, as he's saying there's a proper way that a marriage is supposed to take place. I don't have power over my body. I belong to her. She belongs to me. I say, preacher, why are you talking about? We're talking about divorce. I realize that, but do you know why most divorces happen? Because Satan has convinced us to go outside of the home for sexual relationships, or he's convinced us to stop it inside the home. Is everybody all right? And it's killing our marriages. It's killing our marriages. We are to show due benevolence to one another. She belongs to me. I belong to her. Disclaimer. That doesn't mean she's my slave. Nor does it mean that I'm her slave. All right? But we both have a responsibility in the marriage. And that responsibility in that marriage is to be carried out. So much so that he said, defraud ye not. In other words, you don't get to make that choice. Except it be for a except it be with consent. That means that the other one has to agree to it. Somebody help me. That means no headaches. Is everybody all right? Guys are like, yes, preach right here, right now. Our marriages are failing because Satan has convinced us not to talk about it. some of you to feel very uncomfortable right now, because Satan has taught us that this is something that we're not supposed to talk about. But your sixth grader already knows it. We sent out the 12-year-old and yonder. You know, me and Dalton had a talk. He was in the sixth grade. I think Dalton was 12 years old. And somebody else, Dalton had already heard all of it, and he was in a Christian school. What you think your youngins is hearing in a public school? We are living in a day and time. This is what I was telling the girls tonight. I said, look, what do we need to do? We need to take the kids out or what? But we're living in a day and time where Satan has deceived us into thinking that it's wrong to talk about these type of things with our kids, with our spouses. And he's convinced us that instead of fighting it, instead of talking about it, instead of talking through these problems, it's better just to go outside the marriage. And our marriages are failing because of it. I want you to know something. As a preacher, you need to keep your marriage as godly as you possibly can. I'm done. This is your homework. I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter number 5 tonight. Not now. I know all y'all wanting to do your homework in class. And I want you to read about the husband and the wife and how Paul relates it to the church and Christ. And Paul tells us that we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He says that we are to love our wives like we love ourselves. We ain't missing no meal. We ain't missing nothing that we need. So that means that, is everybody all right? Hey, look up in here. Y'all, we're not done yet. That means that what she needs, I'm to provide. And what I need, she's to provide. He don't contradict himself in Scripture. And I have a responsibility to that woman right there over all y'all. I done told y'all this. I'll leave this church in a heartbeat if it keeps this marriage together. Because I have a responsibility to her to meet her needs. And she has a responsibility to me to meet mine. And I'm talking about whatever needs. Physically, emotionally, whatever needs that they have. Go read Ephesians chapter number 5 and get over this. You're supposed to submit to me. Before you get into that, go to one verse higher than that. Where, you know, the verse that we all like to jump on is wives submit to your husbands. Go one verse higher than that. It says submit ye one to another. That means you got to, everybody all right? That means you husband got to do some submitting too. We don't like to preach that. All right. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless our relationship series. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that some folks have got some help. Lord, it's hard teaching. It's hard hearing. But God, we do understand your word. And God, how you view divorce. But God, I'm thankful that you're long-suffering. I'm thankful that you're merciful. I'm thankful that you're gracious. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, that somebody in here get a burden lifted off of their shoulders. Lord, I also pray for some married couples tonight that they realize, Lord, that they, Lord, to make this thing work, they're going to have to put an emphasis on the other, not themselves. And God, I pray that we leave out of here strengthened as families. Lord, strengthened as a church body. Lord, strengthened as believers. Lord, we love you. And God, we thank you for what all you've done here at Calvary Baptist Church today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, y'all getting any help out of the series? Okay, good.